Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast. We're hosted by Kendall and Jackie. And here we talk about everything, well, horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and also the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, the tropes, and new episodes are launched every Monday.
And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Terra Nova Pod. And more importantly, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog too. Cujo.
Hey, Jackie, how's it going?
I'm good. I'm pretty excited because today we're going to talk about trick or treat.
Ah, oh, trick or treat, candy. First thing that comes to mind, candy.
Remember, kids, get it the day after Halloween. It's cheaper.
That is a good point. Them sales, they be trying to get you on that day. But if you just wait, just about one day, November 1st, you'll be good to go.
But yeah, so this movie, we both kind of watched it during this weekend. And I love this movie. It's funny how it became such a big cult, like not a cult classic, I guess in a sense, but like it just became such a big movie. And it's funny because it's like an anthology of different stories that center around Halloween.
Yeah, and surprisingly, this is the first time someone's decided to do something like this that like include, you know, the origins and things like that. Like, I'm surprised that no one else has even thought of that idea prior to this. There's been a lot of anthologies, but none quite like this.
Yeah, like for example, they mentioned the origins that, you know, it was basically an old festival. They called it, I believe it was, what was it called? Samhain. And then that turned.
Yeah, so it was spelled like Samhain. Really weird.
Yeah, spelling. And then that turned into the All Hallows Eve Festival. And then that got turned into what we know now as Halloween.
Yeah, the holiday itself has come a long way. Some of the stuff I knew, some of the stuff that I didn't. To tell you the truth, I think that this was only my second time seeing the film. And the very first time, I might have been doing something while watching it, so I kind of missed all of those nuggets of dialogue and all of those pieces, whatever, really just getting into like why Halloween was so important, because this is truly a Halloween film. Mm-hmm. Like, it's about Halloween as a whole, how it's been celebrated throughout history and all of that stuff. It really, it's in tidbits of that is in the dialogue. It's just, I think the very first time I watched it, I wasn't paying attention, so I kind of walked away from the film thinking it's an okay film. And then I just noticed over time, people kept mentioning it as a cult classic. And I was like, really? So this was a good time to revisit.
Yeah. And the one thing, too, about this movie is that they really chimed in the importance of tradition. Like, through the whole entire movie, beginning to end. Like, the whole tradition of certain things about it was just like, you have to do this unless consequences happen. This is really interesting how they did that.
Yeah. And once again, like I said, I missed all of that the first time watching it. So I walked away from it thinking it was a generic movie that just took place during Halloween, not realizing that there was so much context, and nuance in the way the stories were being told. I think the first time I watched it, I didn't even realize that all of the stories are happening like at the same time.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like Memento. Like the way it starts off how it ends. And then when you get to the ending, it ends the way it starts. So interesting.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Like, I don't know how I missed that the first time. But and I think even like for getting ready for this episode, I it was pointed out to me in like one of the articles I was reading. So they were like, everything is kind of taking place in the same night, and it's all, you know, it's all during Halloween, and all of these stories are kind of converging and playing a role. I guess like to get people, if just for some reason you have not seen this film. Because, of course, it's not, it hasn't been, it's been, a, when did it come out? 2008 or something like that?
Yeah, I think around that time.
I don't know why they.
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah, they, for some reason, they, 2009. So it's only, this film is only 11 years old. And if you haven't seen it for some reason, it's pretty straightforward of a film in some context. Like, it's an anthology film, which means, like, you know, there are multiple stories taking place at the same time, all on Halloween night. And they all kind of weave into each other. And that's pretty much the film. There are, what, four or five different stories?
I believe so.
Roughly? There's this. yeah, there's a story about the girls that are like buying their costume and kind of like how their night is going. There's a story about the kids who are trick-or-treating and they find out about like this bushcraft incident that happened, this like urban legend in town. There's a story about the guy who's like killing kids with candy.
And then the old guy who also relates to the bus crash.
Yep. There's the older guy who's kind of just like grumpy by himself. And I guess you could say Sam as well.
Well, that, and also there was another story too about the couple with the wife that was just like, so over Halloween. And then the husband just like,
oh, yeah,
so that kind of starts off the whole mood of it.
Good point. So that's like six stories in total.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the summary for the film, they say it's about four, but it's really like six, especially if you include like Sam, the film's main creature.
Sam. I love that kid. He's so cute.
Yeah, I love Sam too, to tell you the truth. Sam is my favorite part of this film. Like, I just, the creature, like, or I guess you could call it, whatever you want to call it, demon, deity, whatever you want to call Sam. He just looks so cool, and I think that was the first thing that captured my intention about this film. Like, when I first, the very first time I saw it, was just Sam. Like, I didn't know what it was. I remember seeing, like, the cover art for the film, and I was like, what is that thing? It looks kind of cool, though. I was like, it has just, like, a net, it's like a knapsack, like what was it, sack head, basically, with, like, button eyes. And it's carrying, like, a lollipop in hand, and, like, a little bag for, like, candy. It looks really innocent, but it also looks kind of creepy. And it was like, I was like, oh, this is cool as fuck. I wonder how you came up with this.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go into on how the creation of Sam and the whole movie came to be. Because it's, again, it's so interesting. It's so fascinating about it. But first impressions, sir.
I like it. I really do. Like, I'm starting to slowly get into the space of I love it. Like I said, the very first time that I saw the film, my first impression of the film, I was like, it's okay. Like, it's cool. But I didn't realize at the time I missed a lot of dialogue, or at least a lot of important dialogue that kind of adds to, like, the feeling of the film. So having revisited it now for my second time and watching it, and then, you know, doing research and looking at some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, I'm like, oh, okay, this adds way more, like, nuance to the film than I initially got from it. I don't know if... I guess, like, just pay attention when you watch it. Like, I don't know if you're missing all of the good parts or all the, like, really good pieces of dialogue that hints at the overall theme of the film, then I guess you can walk away with it with the idea of, like, it's an okay generic horror. But if you, like, really are somebody who's into Halloween and enjoys all the things that comes with it and all of these stories playing different roles and different parts of, like, the Halloween experience, I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And that part made it grow on me more and more looking at it now. So I like it. I really like it. How about you?
Yeah, same here. Same here. I really did enjoy this movie. It was just like, this is interesting. It's funny because, like, I was the same way when I first saw the movie, like, a while back. I just thought of it as an, okay, just regular Halloween movies. Some kids just killing people, whatever. And then, yeah, the second time around, I noticed it more that it's more than just a generic Halloween movie. You know, it's more going on. And again, the theme throughout the whole entire film is tradition. And they mentioned that, you know, through every other character in their side story, they always mention the word tradition. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I just started to notice it a little bit more as the film kind of went on. All of the characters, whether you would say the good ones or the bad ones, like, in terms of, like, morality, they all definitely harped on tradition.
Yeah, they even verbally said it. Like, the girls, oh, it's tradition. The guy was talking to the kid, it's tradition. You know, the little yeah, kids, you know, trick-or-treaters, talking about, it's a tradition. And even the couple was like, it's tradition. I love how they just put that in there. Like, tradition is such an important thing in this movie.
Yeah, same. Especially for a holiday like Halloween, which, in my opinion, isn't celebrated as well as like, you say, like, a Thanksgiving or a Christmas. Like, you know, Halloween is one day of the year, but Halloween kind of gets a month. It gets all of October. Like, you know, once October 1st hit, people are like, oh man, time to put on the spooky stuff.
I mean,
you know, the haunted houses
come
out.
If you're like me, Halloween's every day, but that's just me.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I'm like, Halloween in my mind is every day. Every time I put on a horror movie of any sort, it's Halloween. So that, but generally speaking, for like the nine, I guess, super, super horror nerds, people just kind of marry horror films and Halloween to October and nothing else. They're just like, okay, cool. This is the one time a year that I can get into the mood of being spooky and watching things that are spooky. But other than that, it's okay. Christmas, in my opinion, gets like 8 months out of the year. For Christmas, it's like they just can't wait for Halloween to be over. Essentially, November 1st is the beginning of Christmas. Like, yeah, we care about Thanksgiving, but when November 1st comes, you start hearing the music. They start rolling out them red carpets. Like, they, and then Christmas pretty much rolls until damn near March. Like, that's just kind of how it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like once you, even when you go to, like, you know, stores, you know, you get that small section of fall items, and then you get the huge section that takes up like three aisles of Christmas stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, hey, skip right past Thanksgiving, I guess, because, you know, there's no real commercialization with Thanksgiving. It's like you buy food, you eat with your family. That's really about it. But Christmas is the one where people really kind of go out of control. And Halloween just seems like the one that's like right before Christmas where people kind of have a really, really good time with it. Whether they enjoy dressing up or eating more candy than they originally intended or watching something that's spooky. It's a very unique time of year versus everything else. Or really unique versus any other holiday, honestly, especially in the U.S.
I'm sure I will end up watching horror theme movies for Christmas. Gremlins.
There are definitely a few. There's that actually slightly similar to this topic. There is an anthology horror film called Holidays that I think one of the stories takes place during Christmas. So there are definitely stories that fit Christmas.
Again, Gremlins.
Oh, I love Gremlin, so we're gonna definitely end up reviewing that at some point. But
yeah,
back to trick or treating. Like, there's a lot of things in the history. I know you went over the brief history of it. There are a lot of things in the history that some that I was aware of, some that I wasn't. Like the aspects of, like, you know, costumes kind of were a thing because at least traditionally costumes were a thing to kind of blend into like the time where people believe that Halloween was when, like, the veil between, and they mentioned this in the film, the veil between the living and the dead is kind of the thinnest, and things kind of cross over. So wearing a costume was essentially a way to be able to hide from, like, ghosts and ghouls.
Mm-hmm.
I remember hearing that as a kid, and I always thought that was a really cool aspect.
I've always heard about that because of Dia de los Muertos, you know, Day of the Dead. It's the same concept. You know,
yes.
You wear the skull makeup, the capoeira makeup and everything, you know. La Muerta comes to bring the dead back, give the altar. So it's kind of similar to that. It's very similar to that. Also,
and I have to say, not to cut you off, but those costumes for the Day of the Dead are some of the most beautiful visual costumes I've ever seen in my life. From like the face makeup to the dresses, it is just so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous tradition. It's a very beautiful tradition. But yeah, back to the whole tradition. Also, the pumpkins, you know, originally it were turnips.
Yes.
Because back then there were no pumpkins for where they were. And then when it got Americanized, then they introduced pumpkins. And then they mentioned the originator of Trick or Treat, where he used to pull pranks on people and he died. And apparently no one wanted him, not even the devil or God wanted him. So he was
The original jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, and so he was just stuck in like some weird limbo where all he did was carve pumpkins and faces because it represents death. So that also was interesting.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. I didn't know that at all. I had no idea about that prior to hearing about that. And the other thing that was really funny about that was the other aspect of trick or treating where like people started to give candy to kids, they essentially started doing it because, you know, Halloween is also known as, what is it, Mischievous Night, I think they call it, or Mischief Night.
Mm-hmm.
They started giving candy to kids because they were just like, this would be a good bribe for them not to destroy our shit. It's like, maybe if I give them a Snickers every now and again, they won't wreck my house.
That's what started the Halloween house parties too. because to keep everyone contained and, you know, have an eye on everybody, they're like, oh, come, let's do a party on Halloween, the Festival of Eves. That's kind of how that started as well.
Yeah, I really love that. That's really, history is so interesting. It's always really cool. You could see how, like, different parts of history just start to roll into themselves and evolve in really unique ways. You have the jack-o'-lanterns to guide people, or at least they believed it, to like guide possibly ghouls or guide people throughout the night. You have the costumes to possibly avoid supernatural aspects so you can kind of enjoy the night. Mm-hmm. And then you have like the mischief that comes with it. And you have people like, hey, let's just give them bribes so that they don't. It's like we're either bribing spirits or you're bribing people to make sure your day goes perfectly fine.
Yeah. And it's funny because like even in the movie, there's a scene when that bus driver, that retired bus driver, is watching TV. And on the screen, you see a man actually talking about what we're talking about right now, the tradition, history of Halloween.
Yeah.
So I like how they eased that into that movie.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that. And it definitely adds a lot to the film.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of interesting stuff about this movie. But yeah, so basically, like we mentioned, the movie kind of does center around this character, Sam. And when we were watching this documentary about behind the scenes of the movie, and the director actually animated this as a short before he turned it into a full-length film, because he just thought, oh, it'd be funny if Halloween had this character that did all this mischievous stuff, and he called him Sam, which was a play on Samhain, which is the original term for Halloween.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. And you basically, he doesn't really do much. He does things here and there, but throughout the whole entire movie, he's just like in the background, like a fly in the wall. Like he's just witnessing everything going around, all the traditions taking place. And again, it was just like, I just love him. He's just so adorable. And I love the fact that they actually got a kid to play that character. Like it wasn't like a little person, it was a child they hired. Because the director,
yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, the director said that how he wanted to keep it. Because he said that how like children run a specific way, which is true. The way they run, the way they do things is so innocent and kind of eerie and this and that. And he really wanted to keep that with Samuel. Like he really wanted Sam to have that innocence when he's like doing mischievous things. And I thought it was kind of funny and cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. Everything about Sam was super cute. Like we already talked about how he looks, but like everything about the character is super cute. I love that a lot of people like in the cast or even just like directly involved in writing the film was saying that Sam was kind of like the enforcer of Halloween. And I really like that, considering how cute the character mm-hmm. looks. And like the character, like there's so many scenes where like trick-or-treaters going to get candy and then Sam just like pops up behind the group and he doesn't say anything. People are just like remember when he went to the one guy who like killed the kids with candy? The kid mm-hmm. and the kids came to trick-or-treat and everybody grabbed candy and then Sam was just standing there. He was just like, you want candy? And he just like snatched it and walked off.
Yeah.
I love that. I was just like, give him some candy. He'll leave you the fuck alone.
Yeah, that's all you have to do. Just give him candy and he will not bother you. Like, don't do this. I mean, we'll get more into the things you're not supposed to do. Otherwise, Sam is going to kill you. But yeah, and the thing too about it, yeah, like the guy with the candy, the principal, that was a play on what happened in the late 50s, where there was a man named the Candy Man, and he actually did use to poison the candy on Halloween, and he would give it to children. That was a real case that happened.
Yeah, I think I heard about that.
And that was on, that's a fear that people develop, and it's, to this day, it's still a thing.
That is true.
People still have to check their candy to this day. Like, people just like, make sure it's good, make sure it's this. Because I think, what was it? I think last year, they were saying that how they found edibles in kids' candies. And they're like, how did this get here? Who put this here?
Yeah, I feel like that story pops up every year in the news.
Yeah, that or like someone did find like needles in the chocolate bar. Like stuff like that. It still happens to this day. And I like how they put that in this movie. Which it's funny because like when he was killing that kid, he was just like, he mentioned, oh, you know, these pumpkins, you know, my father did this, you know, because it's this tradition, you know. And he mentioned a brief history of Halloween while the kid was dying. So that was very interesting and weird.
Super weird.
And yeah, but also fun fact about that scene, the kid who was showing up. Apparently, what they used for that was an edible suspense. And it was apparently mixed with, it was chocolate with thickener to make it look like it's vomit. And the kids said the hell, like, it didn't taste good, but it's whatever. It was just for the film.
Yeah, I'm sure it did taste horrible.
Yeah, I mean, thickener is not, doesn't taste good.
Yeah, that scene was like really, really weird. I was like, like even when the kid started, like, you know, barfing and all of that, he was just like, hey, you forgot one of the rules of Halloween. You're supposed to always check your candy. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Man, that was just crazy. But again, it's interesting how they brought in a real life fear, something that's real, into this movie. And they even referenced that too a little bit in Halloween, where like as Michael was killing whatever or chasing after, when the cop had mentioned, oh my god, a kid got his tongue sliced because of a blade in his chocolate. And they mentioned that a little bit in Halloween.
I might have missed that. That makes sense. Yeah, it's definitely a concern that's mentioned literally every single year for Halloween. I don't know. At this point, it happens so often, or they say it so often, I'm not even sure if it's an actual thing or not. It could have been just a one-time thing that people just have a fear of forever, which, fair enough. I want to ask you, what was your favorite story out of all of the stories?
The werewolves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a good
Why'd you like that one?
It was an interesting twist. And I like how they foreshadowed it, too, from the beginning as well. Like, it was foreshadowed that they were werewolves.
Oh, what ways? Because I might have missed it. What ways?
So, when they're in the costume shop, these four, I think it's four girls. Yes, four girls. They're going to this costume area, the shop, and they put on these costumes and whatnot. And Anna Paquin, who plays one of the werewolves, and I love her. She's so adorable and funny.
That's the actress that plays Rogue, right?
Mm-hmm. She was also Suke in True Blood.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so the older sister knocks on her door, and she briefly says, like, come out of here or I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow the door down. And that's also a reference. It's like, oh, I didn't catch that. That's what the wolf says in the Three Little Pigs story.
Yeah, I might have missed
also
that.
Yeah, and then when she also invites that guy, the cashier for the costume place, and she's just like, oh, come meet us at Shepherd Meadows, you know, place, this area. And, you know, I say, you know, wolves eat sheep, wolf in sheep clothing. So, like, that was also, like, a little,
yeah,
basically the Easter egg, like, okay, they're werewolves. And I just love how it was this interesting take of that, like, how he turned that into these girls being all like, oh, look at me, I'm innocent. And then boom, twisted it around and killing these people. It was just so cool. That was so dope.
Yeah, that was really cool. Because it was like, also like, that was one story I always remembered because of how weird it was. Because I just didn't see that coming. Like, between the dialogue between the girls, it mostly comes off as like the girl is a virgin. Because she kind of jokes and was like, yeah, you're like a 22-year-old virgin. So you get the hint that, like, okay, all of her friends are, I guess, slightly more promiscuous than her. And she's just been, like, a bit more reserved about it. Like, costume-wise, they all kind of wore skimpy outfits for the most part. Because it's Halloween. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what people do when in, like, their 20s. Mm-hmm. Or even older. There's pretty much adults in Halloween. It's that time of year where they kind of get to dress, whatever you want to call it. Slutty, trampy, whatever you want to call it. People do it because they're like, cool, I can do that today. This is going to be fun. Mm-hmm. But their dialogue, you get the gist that, like, that one character, the one who was Red Riding Hood, she's like never had sex before. So you're like, oh, I guess like the other ones are like, this is what we do. We go out, we have fun. We occasionally have sex. Like, you've never had sex. That's weird. But like, it also wasn't like they were truly judging it, which is more so like, you kind of hang out with us. Like, you know, we all kind of do this, and you just kind of seem like you've been putting this off for God knows what reason. So you're just assuming that that's a part of what the situation is. And like her friends are, they're hitting on almost any guy that they come across. And which, I guess that should have caught my attention, because one part of me, you know, I'm a guy. So one part of me is like, well, the guys that some of you girls are even hitting on aren't even attractive. Like, you guys are just axing people. You're asking like random people to come to a party. It's not like they were like picking the tens of the neighborhood. Especially since they said, while they were in the dressing rooms, that every Halloween they tend to go from like different cities. So they're like, sometimes we're in this city, or he's like, we go to a different city every Halloween. Like, this is just what we do. So I could kind of see why they would just pick people up. But I was just, even from my mind, I was like, you're not even picking like good looking dudes. You're just picking random dudes. And then you're pretty much planning the party. Like, you, at first you get the idea that they may be possibly going to a party. And then later on you get the, when they, you kind of see them at the party, you're like, oh, so it's your party. Like, it's your party and you just invited all these people. So me looking at it with that lens of now, I'm like, so you didn't even pick like the best looking dudes in town to come. You just picked dudes to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even when they're talking about that, they've been mentioning like, Anna Paquin's character is just like, oh, I told my first son these, you know, special and whatnot. And the girls are just like, it's tradition. We do this every year. It's tradition. You know this. And you're just like, what are they talking about? That's tradition. And then you see that it's a pack. It's like initiation when you fully become a werewolf, I guess. Your first kill.
Yeah, I guess that's what it was. Yeah, it was really funny. I never forgot that scene because the transformation of them becoming werewolves was so vivid and so like different than any transformation I've probably seen in any film that involved werewolves. Like, normally, you know, you just see like hair come out the back or something like that, and then like the faces come out. But this was like a very detailed transformation. Their skin was like peeling off, like almost like snake skin, and like the hair was just like very grisly, very bold. The teeth were like super vicious. Like, it was just like pretty much as visual as you could make a werewolf look. That was what they did, and that was really cool.
I mean, I've seen that before, like in American Werewolf in London. Also the Howling movies, very similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because the director, Michael Dougherty, he made me, it was so funny. He said that how like it was like tongue in cheek, that whole scene when they were like ripping their skin off. It was literally a striptease. That's what they did. They just did a striptease by taking off their flesh and being like, surprise, I'm a werewolf. Gonna eat you now.
Yeah, so weird. The whole time they were stripping their skin off, I was thinking, How do they go human again? Like, do they see, like, does it grow back on? Do they put it back on? Like, what the fuck?
I think they put it back on because, again, the movie starts where it ends, and then it ends where it starts. So when you see one of the characters, Wanda, who has the pumpkins, is with the other kids that, you know, got eaten by zombies. You see the wolf pack driving, and they almost hit her, but not exactly. And you see them, like, half-dressed, half, you know, clothes on. And so they probably did put their skin back on. But that was after
the point. Yeah, they were in the car laughing, like, driving away. Like, oh, that was a great time.
Mm-hmm. So I think they do put the skin back on. Put the skin in the hose. Put the hose. Buffalo Bill reference. Buffalo Bill reference.
Silent Hill. Yeah, that story was wild. My favorite story out of all of them was the one about the bus accident. What do they call it? The Halloween bus massacre?
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. That was pretty interesting. Is essentially trick-or-treating gone wrong. That's basically what it is. Because it's like one of the other like traditions of Halloween, telling ghost stories and urban legends, which you essentially do on Halloween. And that was also a reference of that tradition. And yeah, so the story is that there was a sane asylum that had these children that were all like, you know, mentally disturbed and stuff like that. And the parents couldn't really bear with their children being that way. And so they told the bus driver, like, listen, we'll give you this amount of money. Just take them out of their misery. And that's what he did. He took them, he drove them off a cliff, and yeah, the parents want them dead. And
yeah,
the legend in the story, the legend says that how like they never found the bus, they never found this and that. The driver was the only one that survived. Actually, no, they never heard the driver before. They never heard the driver ever again because they don't know if he survived or not. But later on, you do find out he did survive. And basically the tradition, and then the tradition is that every year you get, I think it's six pumpkins
Eight.
Or eight pumpkins. Yeah, so you get eight pumpkins for each kid that lost their life that day. And then you just put it there as a tradition. And that's tradition. And that's also why they say keep the pumpkins lit. Because it protects you from evil. Which I also found pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, that aspect of it is really cool.
Yeah, and then, you know, the trick-or-treating gone wrong. You know, the kids try to pull a prank on that girl, Rhonda. And then what happens? The trick becomes a treat for the zombies instead. And they eat the kids, you know? Yeah,
it was such a cruel prank. Like, I know that kids prank each other and stuff, but I swear to God, if somebody pranked me like that, we ain't never talking ever again in life. Because that was such a cruel prank. Like, imagine they went way out of their way. They met this girl. They didn't even think that they didn't really know like that. But they're hanging out. They're trick-or-treating together. Then you start telling this story. This girl clearly has some knowledge of Halloween. So she even tells him, like, the original name of Halloween. And the pirate kid was kind of like, oh. Like, he didn't know. He was just like, oh, okay. And then, you know, they go through all of this to prank the girl. She comes down there. She, as the elevator's coming down, she could already see that the lights are going out on, like, Jack-o'-lantern. So she's thinking something's happened to her friends. And then she gets down there, and then, like, they're, like, faking, like, one kid is being eaten. And then she's getting chased, and then she falls and hits her head. And they're like, oh, shit. And you think there's monsters chasing her. Then it's the kids who are just in costume. They're like, all right, we can stop now. We scared the hell out of her. And then they're just like, oh, okay. And the girl's like, well, oh, well. And he's like, yo, she's obviously very scared. Like, let's chill. Like, we did it. We made her scared. Like, let's stop. And then something actually happens. And, like, real, like, the zombie kids from the bus crash that died come and, like, start killing all of the kids. And then you see Rhonda, she, like, gets away because she was further away at the time. She gets away and they come running back to her. And she's on the elevator. And they're like, she's like, let us in the elevator. And she's like, nah, and just goes up, which was really funny. But I also laughed because I was like, yeah, I probably would have did the same thing. I'm like, you guys did not need to scare me the way you scared me. Like, that's so fucked up. You can live with whatever happens with this. Like, yeah, I'm just going to be stuck here. So I totally understand why she did it. She was just like, I'm going. I'm not living with this. And the thing about that scene that made me, that was really interesting to me, was that I was thinking, like, it didn't seem like the zombie kids, like, really were trying to get her. Like, it didn't seem like they were, like, actively trying to get her. Like, it seemed like, and this is just my interpretation of the scene, it seemed like they were in trying to actively get those kids because you can say in a way that they were being disrespectful. Like, the whole thing, one of the parts of traditions is to respect the dead, despite them being gone. And it seemed like, in my opinion, they were disrespectful to take somebody to someone else's gravesite and then try to scare somebody there. It's basically disrespectful.
And also, remember that blonde chick? That was the middle of the night. I couldn't stand that hole. cannot stand that hole. She kicked over one of the lit pumpkins because one of the girls was just like, oh, there's one more pumpkin lit. And she just kicked it over into the water. And that's how they all came out because they unlit all the candles. I remember Rhonda had told the kid with the pumpkin, like, it's like, it's okay. This pumpkin's lit. Stay behind it. It'll keep you safe. Like, in a way, it's just like it protects you from the spirits, the candles and the pumpkin. And yeah, she knew. But what was funny about that scene was after she came back up and she's walking, and then you see Sam staring at her with his bag, and she's with the wagon, they're just looking at each other, and then just go their separate ways, like, hey, and they just walk away.
Yeah, like almost like they didn't mind each other at all. And a part of me was like, I wonder if it's because, well, she seems like she's, I wonder if it's the jack-o'-lantern protecting her or also the fact that she was actually respective of the site. I wonder if it was like a combination of the two, which is why he left her alone.
Well, also she does take Halloween seriously because even when they went to her house was covered in pumpkins that she carved herself, you know? And again, like going back to the beginning of the movie, which is also the ending, there's a couple who, you know, was at this festival and they came home and the wife was just like, oh, I'm so tired of Halloween. And when she was about to unlit one of the pumpkins, her husband was just like, don't do it. It's tradition. You're not supposed to, you know, take down your decorations till the day after. She was like, oh my God, it's not Hanukkah, whatever. And Sam saw her do that. Sam was watching her unlit the pumpkins, take the decorations off, and then he killed her for it. Because that's a tradition you don't break, apparently. That's a big no-no in Sam's eyes. So that could also be why Sam left Rhonda alone, the girl, because she was very much into the tradition of Halloween.
Yeah, she was respectful of everything. So, yeah, I have to assume that's why he left her alone. Because it's funny, he killed the lady, but he didn't even kill her spouse, which I guess he was probably like, well, he's doing his part. Like, he warned her. So I guess he'll leave her alone.
Yeah, because he did warn her. It's like, don't unlit it. It's tradition. You're not supposed to do that. But yeah, and then behind the scenes, the actress who plays Rhonda, she's so cute. When she was showing her wagon, yeah, she was like, so I'm playing Rhonda, and I'm walking away from a crime scene. It was so funny she was how she said that. Yeah, like, she's just so cute. She was just so adorable. She's like, I'm walking away from a crime scene.
Yeah, the kids in this movie were so good. Kids in the movie were so cute. A part of me actually wanted to see like more of the kids than anybody else, because whenever I see kids and whenever I think of Halloween in general, I always think of like Charlie Brown, Great Pumpkin. Mm-hmm. That's always my first thought with Halloween. So like when I saw the kids, I was like, oh, these kids have cool costumes just like Charlie Brown.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. There was actually a reference to that too. Oh, the school bus story. Apparently, the school bus story was inspired by the Great Pumpkin of Charlie Brown.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's where the urban legend came from. I forgot how it mentioned it in one of the articles we read about the backstory of it, like the whole, like, what ideas came from, and they mentioned that the school bus, the kids and everything, that was kind of inspired. And also the kids as well, they actually hired real disabled children to play disabled children.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's pretty amazing. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the kids are disabled, you know, story. So they wanted to make it authentic. Mm-hmm. So they hired actual disabled children and they loved it. They were so like, woohoo, you know. They enjoyed themselves.
I want to go back to Sam for a little bit because I just like Sam so much. He's so cool. What do you think?
Adorable, like, little child.
Yeah, like we talked about it a little bit, but like, what do you think Sam essentially is like supposed to represent or like be?
I guess he is supposed to represent, like, I'm trying to phrase this properly. Like, I guess the holder of tradition. You know, he is like the enforcer. Like, you know, the actress who plays Rhonda said, like, he is the enforcer. He likes to make sure that people are doing their part for this holiday. You know, he's looking at everybody. He's looking at all the pumpkins, you know. He's checking to see if people really are giving kids candy, if they're, you know, the pumpkins, decorations, if they're still up. Because I feel like it's like one holiday that it's funny because like, he's kind of like an entity in a sense. Where it's like, if you don't fuel it, he'll either disappear or he'll go into chaos. But if you fuel it by doing what you're supposed to do, he's like at peace. He's just like, okay, I'm good. I'm happy. I have your pumpkins. I have my candy. I'm good. So I feel like, in a sense, it's like that. That's what I feel like what he represents, like the entity of like Halloween.
Yeah, it's like almost like a reverse Santa.
You know, yeah,
people are good on Christmas because of Santa Claus, you know, they say he's watching, so you're not going to get good gifts if he sees you doing bad. In this case, it's like, no, you're just going to die if he sees you doing bad. But at the same time, even Sam gives you like a chance to correct yourself, because which I think is like the funniest story in the whole movie is the story with the old man. That whole, like, the fight between him and Sam and all of that stuff, that shit had me laughing so hard in my bed. Like, this movie, it's way more fun than I remembered it being in my first watch of it. It is like so funny. Mm-hmm. But the fight between him, that old man, and Sam was hilarious from like beginning to end. Like, to think like Sam had like, he had like knives inside of his candy bars. That was so funny.
Well, the knife for the candy bar, remember that came from the principal, because the principal was spiking candy with like knives and blades and poison.
Yeah.
But that's where he got the blade from.
That's a good point. I didn't even put two and two together. I assumed that Sam just like turned candy into blades, but that would make sense.
Yeah, because there was already blood on the candy before he even cut the guy. So obviously he must have bit into it and cut his mouth. Because that principal, I don't know why, he just felt, oh yeah, I'm just gonna poison all the kids in this town because I fucking hate kids. And it's just like, same bro, but I would never do that. I'll just scare the hell out of them.
Yeah. But that fight with the old man was just too funny though. Like everything about it, that old man's face at every turn was just like, holy shit, this is, what the hell is this thing? Oh man, I love the scene where he shoots Sam, like after Sam jumped on his back, and it was like they're tussling back and forth, and he throws it off him, and then Sam is running at him, and he finally gets a hold of the gun, and he shoots Sam, and Sam flies across the room. That scene was just really funny to me, because a part of me was like, you know, horror movies always have those moments where you're like, why are you walking up to the thing that was just trying to kill you? Either shoot it again or run. And then the old guy was kind of like walking towards it to see if it was actually dead or not. And like everything about that scene cracked me up. Like how Sam was like regenerated, like his hand got shot off, and even his hand was still able to function without the body, and it stabbed the old man. He's like, what the fuck? And he like threw it. and it was like his guts when he shot Sam was pumpkins. It was pumpkin guts.
Pumpkin seeds, yeah. He's literally made of pumpkins. He's like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah, and his face was just like pretty much, I know the director said like his intent was for his head to be like a combination of like a fetus baby and like a pumpkin. And it was fucking terrified. It was like, oh shit, put the mask back on. That shit was crazy. I loved how all the candy was toys. Like everything about that shit was like so funny. And when Sam went to stab him after he took the lollipop out and he bit it, and it was like a knife, and he went to stab him and he cut the candy bar and he tasted the candy bar, and he kind of looked at the old man like, all right, we good, and then walked out.
Yeah, he was just like, candy, okay. Okay, then he walked away, and then the zombie, oh, the best part was that he was like, he wrapped himself up because of all the damage that Sam did to him. The little girl was just like, I like your mummy costume. Did he walk away? and then his face when he sees the zombie kids that came back to see him,
yeah,
he was just like, oh my god. And then Sam's just there like, la 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 la, you're my candy.
I even like, even before the zombie kids came, where he like sees Sam again, and he's just looking at Sam like, please don't let this motherfucker come in here again and attack me. And Sam just looks at him and then just walks off because he sees a lady kick over the lantern, and then he's just kind of like, woo, I think I'm gonna make it through the night before, of course, the zombie kids popped up. That shit was funny. That was so funny.
Yeah, like Sam was just looking at him like, yeah, do something. Do something. Do something.
That was so good. That cracked me up so much. Because the whole movie, you don't really see Sam do much. Like, Sam doesn't talk, which I really like that he doesn't talk. He's just like a witness to everything. He doesn't say anything.
He just screams.
He's not like cracking jokes or anything. He's just there.
He just screams. Yeah, just screams that one time when he unmasks him. He's like,
Yeah. Other than that, he doesn't say anything. He just goes to all the houses that where people are home, get some candy, and that's really it. He don't say anything, doesn't even intervene in any of these stories. He's a part of all of them. He's there for all of them. Doesn't intervene, doesn't say anything, doesn't even really play a part, just kind of watches. And I think that's really cool. That's so cool. It's always cool to get like those silent creatures like that.
It's so funny. Sam, man.
Oh, I want to ask you another question that I was thinking about while I was watching it, because I started laughing when I saw him using the lollipop as a weapon. Like, if you could use a piece of candy as a weapon, what would you use? Like, if you were Sam and you had the choice to just use any candy as a weapon, what would you use?
I don't know. I would say, like, gummy worms. You could just stretch it and just, but that breaks easily. I can't choke somebody with that. It just breaks. What's the point of that?
I don't know, you could probably enchant it with some magic or something, and maybe, hey, maybe you could stretch it.
I mean, yeah, Sam was supernatural, so.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, that. Freaking, you know, use gummy worms. Just, like, suffocate you. Put them up your nose, suffocate you. Like, choke you with them. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, a fruit by the foot. I was like... I was like, it's so long. You could probably stretch it out into like a whip or something. Put, I don't know, some glass shards in it or something. Because maybe he made all the candy like glass.
Yeah.
Probably like stretch it out, have like glass in the foot, about a foot, and like beat people with it. You know?
This is too funny, man.
Yeah, it's Sam. This movie is crazy. These dudes, I love the director for coming up with the insanity that is this movie. The movie is hilarious.
I mean, the director in general is insane. Because in behind the scenes, they were saying that how like he used to pull pranks on all the cast and the staff. Like, that's what he did on set. He would like just scare them and traumatize them. Because even the scene when Anna Paquin was getting attacked by the principal who's trying to be a vampire and stuff, to get that whole emotion of her being scared, he actually purposely scared her by jumping up from behind her. She screamed. She was so mad at him. She was so tight. Like, why did you do that? He was just like, no, but see, I'm getting you in the spirit. Getting you in the spirit of it. And yeah,
that's
like,
too funny.
He was the biggest trickster on that set. He was just like, yeah, that's scary. He even sent one of the producers a red painted baby doll at his doorstep as a prank. It was like, take care of my baby. Who does that?
I'd be like, hey man, I want to work on this movie, but you're scaring the shit out of me.
Yeah, like obviously he really did love his project. He loved Sam. He loved this whole movie. You could tell. You know, like he had fun directing it, being on set, and it was just so funny.
Yeah, and like rightfully so. People loved it. Like that movie became a cult classic, which it's always amazing when a movie, in my opinion, it's always cooler when a film falls into that space of cult classic. Because then it just kind of becomes almost like a hidden gem that people don't know about until you mention it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he even has a comeback now. Because originally, I think they did want to do a sequel at one point, but it just never happened. And recently, and I was just, you know, talking to Kendall about this, they created a omnibus on Trick or Treat. You know, basically, it's the first movie in comic form and the sequel all together in one book. And this was to celebrate the anniversary since it's been out, the movie. So I thought that was pretty cool that they kind of like brought it back in today with this comic book. You know, I mean,
yeah, I might have to check that out.
Yeah, I definitely do, because like it's exciting when that happens. You know, the cult classic, like similar to when we talked about Killer Clowns from Outer Space. You know, they brought them back to life in Universal Studios Horror House. They have a section with the Killer Clowns. So that I like when like things like that get brought back in some type of form. If it's not a direct sequel, it's in some type of way. And I'm glad that that happened with Trick or Treat, because it's just a cult classic. And it's just so, it's a good movie. You know, it's a really good, well-done movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. And it's so much fun. And it's kind of cool to see someone have fun with a holiday like Halloween. Like, you know, obviously we have Halloween, but the Michael Myers, like the movie, the franchise isn't really necessarily about the holiday of Halloween. Like it's events that are taking place during that holiday, mm-hmm. but it's not necessarily about Halloween. And this is the only film that's actually really about Halloween. And that's pretty cool. Cause you know, when you think of every holiday, you kind of have like certain movies that end up getting married to them. Like, you know, Home Alone is married to like the time of year of Christmas, and mm-hmm. all these films, so many different films are like tied to specific holidays. But it's really cool to definitely see one that is about the holiday that is trying to be tied to, and especially a tradition that is tied to, which is, you know, trick-or-treating and all the things that come with that. So it's really cool. And it seems like the cast had a lot of fun. The characters in this movie are very colorful and really interesting. Like the serial killer dad and his son. That was a twist I didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect. Like, it's one thing that, you know, some people mentioned about this film, how it breaks a certain horror taboo of like killing children, which I didn't even think much of, honestly, when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but I guess like the setting of it, I didn't really consider that it was like, oh, that you normally never happens. We normally never kill children in films. And this film was like totally fine with that. That's really cool.
Yes,
like,
I don't know
if it's because, mm-hmm. What happened, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Like, yeah, that is true. Like, I don't really see that often either in horror movies.
Yeah, it's usually like a shock value thing, but it kind of like you didn't expect the kid to die, and then boom, a kid's dead. But this film was like comfortable with it, and it made sense in my opinion because it's the time of year where kids would be involved. It's not like they created some supernatural creature that's just started like targeting children or something. It was like, no, they chose a time of year where kids would be out and where like anything is possible to happen to anybody. So it was really well done, really cool, really interesting, really unique. I wonder what the sequel would actually be about. Like, I'm guessing just another combination of stories.
Yeah, because again, like, they were planning on doing one, but again, production hell happened. But
production hell's the worst.
Yeah, but now we got a sequel in comic form. And it would be interesting to see what happened. I'm guessing, yeah, the same thing. Mythology, Sam putting people in their place for not doing their traditions. So,
which, I'm cool with that. I've always been a fan of anthology stories. I've always been, like, a big fan of it. You know, when you come up with a franchise, a lot of times, like, not that this truly is, like, a franchise, I guess you could say, yet. But, like, you know, you look at, like, say, Halloween or, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or even just, like, most franchises, you kind of get your main characters that end up kind of being stuck in, like, 7 or 8 films. And you're just like, well, this character has to live because they keep making sequels. And you kind of get so married to the idea of a character being there that you don't expect them to, like, ever die. Like, when I look at Scream, I don't really expect Sydney's character to die. I wouldn't be surprised if they do it now because it's been so long. But, like, you normally just don't expect certain, like, series regulars to die. And I would say the upside of writing stories, like anthologies, is that anybody can die because the story is going to change and you're not relying on doing a follow-up story to this story. You can do an entirely new thing. I thought Stranger Things was going to be that initially when I first saw Stranger Things. I thought every season was going to be like a different town and an entirely new story, which I think, in my opinion, would have been an even better show, but I like the show for what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty good. What was it? Creepshow was like that. Stephen King's Creepshow. That was also an anthology. You know, the comic.
I have to revisit.
Yeah, like it's a comic series that he did, and then they made it into a movie form. And that's also an anthology. And it's funny because, like, David Thor didn't really think about doing an anthology at first. He knew he wanted to have it center around Sam. He knew that much. But then, apparently, there were, I believe, 18 scripts written for this movie. And...
oh, wow.
Yeah. And then one of them that were used was the one that we see now. And, yeah, so, and also before we get more into it, I wanted to bring up this fact that before they started writing Rhonda, her character, originally, because I remember you mentioned how, like, all the zombie kids didn't want Rhonda. Originally, they were going to have Rhonda be one of the dead kids at the end. Like, the big,
quite a twist.
Like the big reveal, like oh, why did you? And then it's the big reveal that she's actually one of the zombie kids herself. So that would have been interesting too.
That would have been interesting, yeah.
It would have made sense too. I'm just like, oh, that's why they don't bother her because she's also dead.
Yeah. And like, honestly, either option works. Like, either option works.
But yeah, like this movie originally, yeah, there was 18 drafts of the script. And then this one was the one that was picked and therefore became an anthology.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. A small part of me hopes they eventually make a sequel film, just I'm kind of curious what they do with it.
Yeah, I definitely want to see.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I would like to see Sam come back out with his little tricks and treats.
His lollipop knife. That shit is so weird.
I mean, if you think about it, if you were to bite a lollipop in the most weirdest angle, it does become sharp. It does.
It does.
So, true. But the way he used that, and it was just so funny. I'm just like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll take it for what it is. Mm-hmm. Every other story in here has been insane anyway. So I'll take it for what it is. You know, I didn't even realize the first time you mentioned it, but I didn't realize the first time that the guy that was in the black mask pretending to be a vampire was the serial killer dad.
Yeah, because remember he told, because remember his son, he was so annoyed with his son. Because he was just like, Dad, I'm back for trick-or-treating. He was just like, go watch Charlie Brown. He's like, it's so boring. He's like, help me carve a pumpkin. And he's just like, shh, you're going to wake up the neighbors. Shut up, shut up. And he told his son, he was just like, I'm going to go out later tonight. He kept saying that, like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out. And then later on, you him just the vampire, you know, him killing that girl in the alleyway, drinking her blood.
Yep.
And then tried to kill Anna Paquin. And of course, it went wrong because he was just like, what are you guys? And then he sees him turn transform. And he's just like, oh my God. That was a good play on karma. I just want to say that was like karma, that was. You know? So I like how.
The best
guy. Yeah, that went full circle for him. It's like he killed the kid and then he dies.
Yep. So much fun.
Yeah. But his son was just hilarious. He's like, just remember to help me.
Yeah, his son cracked me up.
Remember to help me with the eyes.
And he scared the shit out of his dad when he came back in the house.
Had the mask. Yeah.
On. He's like, oh my God.
He's like, yeah. He's like, haha, I got you.
That kid was great. That kid was, I wouldn't be surprised they did the sequel and like the kid grew up and now he's a serial killer.
I know. I would have been like, oh my God. That kid was creepy. He was kind of obnoxious too, so I don't blame the dad for being so annoyed with him. Just like, oh my God. He's so candy. Get out of my face.
Yeah, this is a very entertaining movie. It's definitely slowly falling into the space of I kind of love it. Like at first I was kind of very neutral about it. I was like, this is okay. But as I like watching it again and learning more about kind of what went into making it, I'm like, this movie is worth more than I initially gave it. Like, I see why people keep talking about it.
Yeah, it's funny because like last year was the first time I ever watched it. I've always heard of it. I've always seen screenshots of it, but I've never actually watched it. And when they aired it, I believe, on TV last year for Halloween, like around the same time right now, October. I watched it and I was just like, oh my God, this movie's great. Like, I keep missing out about this. Like, wow. And it came out, I was like, where the hell was I when this movie came out? It came out in 2009. Like, how did I miss this?
I don't know. I don't even remember if it was in theaters or not. I know I saw it when I saw the film. It was on Netflix, and that was probably 8 years ago when I saw it. Mm. And like I said, I gave it a try because of Sam is on the cover, and I was like, "Oh, that looks really cool." and then I ended up watching it. And I was like, "Oh, that was alright." So yeah, I don't remember it. I don't recall it being in theaters. I know they said at one point they kind of pushed it back because it came out around the time of like Saw 4, so they were afraid that they would like, you know, probably wouldn't be able to compete. Understandable, because Saw was a big thing. But yeah, I don't remember it really being in theaters or anything like that, because I probably would have paid to go see it, because it, you know, the movie's fun. Sam alone probably would have got my money for a ticket. The character is just really cool.
I would have gave Sam my money, my candy, all my chocolate. I would have gave him a hug. I mean, he might bite me after that. Who knows?
Yeah, and but I feel like we would have saw tons of Halloween costumes of the character who was like, it became a big thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a super simple costume.
There probably is. There probably are. We just haven't seen them. But I know after this movie came out, they did do something special. Because you know how, like, for Halloween, sometimes they have those projectors you put outside your garage, whatever. Or, like, when they start inventing those 3D, like, ghost thing that just pops out at you just to scare you. When this movie came out, they actually made one for Trick or Treat. And they brought in a new kid to, you know, be Sam. They brought out their original costume and they had him wear it. And yeah, so that was like one of those things you just put outside your garage and he just pops out like that. So I guess in a sense it was big because they only do that for like big things, you know, so.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I guess in a sense it was kind of big.
Yeah. I would say my last like point or highlight I want to say for this film, this really is a film, in my opinion, a film that is for everyone. Like, of course, it's not overly bloody, it's not super gruesome, Sure, I wouldn't show it to like a 5-year-old.
That would be a bit
much.
I would. I'm a monster.
Of course you would,
Jack. You're
scared the hell out of a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't show it to a 5-year-old, but like, unless that 5-year-old was me, because I've been watching horror movies pretty much since I came out the womb. But aside from that, the movie kind of is for everyone. It's not super bloody. It's not really super gory or gruesome or anything like that. Like, it's not over the top violent by any means. And all of the stories kind of give you a little bit of everything. You get a little bit of the blood. You get a little bit of like just the scare of like a town story of an urban myths and things like that. Urban stories. You get a little bit of everything from all of the stories. So it really is kind of a story for horror fans of all types. And I think that's really cool because it's not often I think you can say that for most horror movies.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's for all ages. Well, not all ages, but in my mind, it'll be in all ages. I'm a monster. So.
Most ages, let's just say. Yeah, most ages. But yeah, that's my final word on it. I'm ready to get out of here if you are.
Yeah, same thing. It's just, yeah, just all around, just loved it. It's a great movie. And yeah, if anyone has never seen it before, watch it. Like, just watch it. It's just so good. It's just so good. And I love Sam. And I want to get, like, a little doll of Sam.
Me too. I kind of do, too.
It's just so cute and adorable. And, like, pinch his little, like, little pumpkin cheeks.
Yeah, Sam is cool. But till next time, guys. Let's get out of here. I'll talk to you later, Jackie.
You too. And wee-oo! Ghost goodbye.